Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure. Boy, howdy, I don't know how I could have more fun than this. This is just a dream come true for me, folks. Thank you for letting me do this. Thanks for letting me be part of your day and for spending time with me. And I know, of course, I know I'm not deluded about this, ladies and gentlemen. I know that a huge reason why you show up every day, why you give me some of your time, is because of our outstanding Brain Trust members. The really smart people that I introduce you to and reintroduce you to, some for a long time, like our guest this half hour, Dr. William Duckelberg, who, as you know, is chief economist for the NFIB, professor of economics at Temple University in the great state of Pennsylvania over in Philadelphia. And as you know, one of the many things he does in his very busy career is he polls small business owners across the country and ask them questions, people just like you and me, and ask them questions. How are things going? How are sales? How's your pricing? How's credit? Are you hiring? Are you firing? Are you laying off? What are you doing? Are you frightened? Are you excited? What's going on? He asks them these questions. He asks you these questions, and you answer him, and he compiles it into a very outstanding report, and he gives it to us every month. We're the beneficiaries of all his excellent labor and decades of a background here, and so we're glad to have him back. Bill Duckelberg, welcome back to the show.
Hey, always good to be with you.
It's good to have you back. I want you to know I gave you that long introduction, Bill, because I just wanted you to know that we are fully aware, and we as much as we can without watching what you do, we're aware of the labor of love that you put into this thing, the hard work, the decades of refining this art that you have of polling people and finding out what's going on, and I just want you to know that we value that and we're impressed with you with it.
Well, thank you very much. That was very flattering, especially so early in the morning. I mean, hey, I don't know if
well,
I can do that.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, what you do is very unique in the world, really, and I really wish I suspect that it's on the desk somewhere at the FOMC meetings every 6 weeks or so. It's somewhere in the building, but I wish it were front and center. What do you think?
Yeah, I know they use it. I've seen several of the governors use the information in speeches, and of course, the week before last, we actually had a meeting with the FOMC and the chairman.
The Federal Open Market Committee of the Federal Reserve Bank, Federal Reserve Board, folks, Mr. Bernanke's group. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, well, I'll just say we had a chance to face-to-face say what we thought was happening, how small business owners were being impacted by the policy.
Yep.
So that's good.
And what did they say?
Well, they don't say very much. They ask a lot of questions. When you ask them things like, "Well, are you guys going to raise rates next time or not?" And they laugh.
Well, speaking of the Fed, Bill, could you take a minute and tell us what the Fed did this week? They made some, they did some different things that I'm not sure it was easy for the average person like me to follow.
Okay, they certainly did, and obviously the financial markets liked it with our 400-point day in the market.
Right, right.
Let's see. Let's think about it in a kind of a simple way, if we can. Here's the problem that we've had. The big banks and other financial institutions, like investment banks, which are different than depository banks,
right,
have these big pools of mortgages that they bought from all around the country, without looking at them too carefully, obviously. And the pools contained good mortgages, but also subprime mortgages. And they valued those based on their history with these kinds of mortgages. So they said, well, A, mortgages never default, and B, sometime default, and mm-hmm. subprime mortgages, they default to this.
They assigned a risk level to each one.
Right, and so they value the mortgages based on the cash flow they would expect. Well, what happened was the default rates turned out to be very different than everybody thought, and not only different, but we don't know what they are. Therefore, nobody will buy those instruments because they don't know what the cash flow will be.
Mm-hmm.
So even here's the Fed's problem. Even very low interest rates, which we now have, we're down to 3 on federal funds, nobody will buy them. You wouldn't buy them with free money because
right.
return of your capital is more important than return on the capital.
Right, exactly.
So everybody buys treasuries instead of those. And we'll finish after.
Hold on to that thought. Folks, this is important stuff because I think it's going to wind up, it could possibly impact your credit situation there in your own communities. 2020, stay with us. Right back with Bill Dunkelberg. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
You've reached peak. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB. My websites, folks, are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use them to your advantage. Thank you for doing that. We're having a record month this month on our website, and we both websites, smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. So check those out. Use them to your advantage. Bill, you were giving us a little bit of a rundown about we were about to wrap up what the Fed did this week that was so unique and what you think the impact will be.
Right, where we left the banks was they had all these mortgages that they had that they had bought, which is similar to what little banks like my bank would do. You know, savers put money in the bank, and we might make a mortgage with that money. That's kind of 24-hour money financing 30-year loans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the big banks do it differently. They borrow like 1-year money in the market and use that money to buy this 30-year money package, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The problem became that people didn't trust the package and wouldn't lend them the money anymore. So when the 1-year money came due, they couldn't refinance them. So that's their liquidity problem. Now what the Fed has done is basically do kind of a special savings and loan bailout type in a way. Very smart. I really admire this move. What they've done is to say to the depository banks and the investment banks, we will swap you your illiquid mortgage pools, where we know there are a lot of very good mortgages in there, just a few bad ones, we just don't know how many, we'll swap you that for treasuries.
Hmm.
So you can put treasuries on your balance sheet.
So whereas they weren't able to convert some of these underperforming loans into liquidity, the Fed's going to basically give them the liquidity.
Right, and they're going to do it 28 days at a time, so it's like a 28-day purchase. And then what we need is time to figure out how many really are bad. Once we know
right.
that, everything becomes marketable because then you can sell the pieces or you can sell the whole thing once you know the
cash flow. So the government has stepped in and created a buffer between the reality and the perception.
Right, and it's an important buffer because we have a principle in accounting called mark-to-market. That is, you have to take the assets on your book and mark it to whatever the market value is.
Right.
When you can't sell them, the market value is zero.
Right.
So on the books, that says the banks don't have enough capital.
And that's a meltdown. Problems. That's a meltdown, isn't it?
But it's not true. There are a lot of
right.
good mortgages in there.
Right.
So the Fed is really essentially giving the banks time to sort all this stuff out without having them have all these problems about having to raise capital and look like they are insolvent, which they're
not. If you remember, Bill, I said a couple of months ago that I believe that the banks needed to work with homeowners who are in trouble, because if they've got a job, work with those people so that they can stay in their homes and you don't go into default. And foreclosure. That's a lot better economic situation than if you go into foreclosure.
Absolutely.
The Fed has done a similar thing with these banks.
It has, and it also gives the banks time to then work with you rather than
right.
have to do something in order to resolve their capital situation.
So what's all this going to? How's all this going to get down to Main Street?
Well, you know, first of all, it will free up, some banks will now have on the books enough capital that they can go back to lending and make regular mortgages, which some of the big banks can't. Even if you're an A credit, they don't have any money because their capital's impaired. So now they will have capital. So it'll loosen that up. It also may mean that the Fed doesn't, you know, since cutting rates isn't really helping this problem, the Fed may not have to cut rates and weaken the dollar more and essentially print more money and put the pressure on inflation, which now is a growing concern among small business owners out there.
Yeah.
So it really is a very, very smart policy move, and it'll help.
So even if the government loses money on this, it won't be as much as, for example, in the 80s, we waited until everything crashed and we spent billions of dollars cleaning it up. This is a preemptive strike, isn't it?
That's right. But they probably won't lose money on it. Because the big banks will be able to make up the capital losses on there. It's just that we don't know what they are.
They need time to find out what that is.
Right. When we
and
find
in
them
fact,
out.
some of it's unknowable, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's unknowable right now, this month and next month. You have to wait another 6-9 months to really figure out what the problems are going to be. Then the banks will essentially give the treasuries back to the Fed, and the Fed will give their portfolio mortgages back, and they will make up the losses the way they always do when you have a bad debt, and business will move on.
Bill, good job. Well said. That's the best explanation I've heard anybody make of it, and I thank you for that. What did your respondents say about the economy? How's it going?
Well, they say the economy is weak. You know, sales have been slow. Expected sales growth is very low, so they don't expect the real volume of goods and services over the next 6 months to really grow very much, if at all. Expected to be quite flat. On the other hand, we're amazed at the strength of the employment market. You saw the numbers that came out. We said we lost 60,000 jobs in the payroll, but the unemployment rate fell to 4.8%.
Right, yeah.
I think the government's having trouble measuring out there. We had a horrible winter in a lot of the country. I think it's having a lot of seasonal adjustment problems with the data. But our people did say that they let go a lot of people in the month of January. I mean, the February survey said we lost about 0.3 employees per firm, which is a big number historically for us. So employment did go down, but the hiring plans are very strong. Capital spending plans improved. So it's not going to be an exciting year, but it doesn't look like we're going to really make it be any worse than we kind of are now.
Well, and I keep reminding my audience, you know, hey, folks, yeah, things might be off a little bit, but don't buy into this recession thing so much that you aren't capable of seeing, signs of a resurrection in the economy.
Exactly.
And so you got to be
exactly.
And I think it's going to come before the end of the year, ladies and gentlemen. I'll ask Bill if he agrees with me. On the other side of these messages, Tintel, Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host. We're back at 7-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Dr. William Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB and Professor of Economics at Temple University, Dr. William Dunkelberg. And Bill, give us your website, please.
My website is smallbiz.org, smallbus.org.
All right, and that's where they can find the survey. You can also find it every month on my homepage, folks. It's one of the two surveys that we post on our homepage, and of course also at nfib.com. Bill, I made a statement as we went to the break. I said, don't get so invested in what's happening right now that you can't see the opportunity coming at you over the horizon. Bill, I think that's going to start happening in the second half of the year. What do you think?
Well, I'm certainly hoping that that's the case, and based on the data that we're starting to see, it looks like, you know, we're going to have a slow spot, but, you know, there's not going to be a serious recession. We're not going to go crashing and burning into a depression or even a serious recession.
Even though oil is at a record high and commodities are going through the roof, even with all that, Bill?
Right. Well, those are important, but, you know, commodities, aren't often that big a piece of the whole pie. I mean, you know, the You know, if you take a box of cereal with commodities in it, why, the cost of the food in there is like a nickel out of the $2 that they charge you. The box costs more than the contents still, even though all, you know, all these grains and everything are very expensive. So it's true they've gone up, and of course oil is expensive. But you know, we use only about half as much oil per dollar GDP today as we did 20-30 years ago. So we're much more oil.
But is it starting to get to the blink level though, Bill, at $108 a barrel?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, it gets expensive, and if it stays expensive, you know, then small business owners as well as consumers will make changes in the way they run their lives. You know, back in the first oil shock in the 70s, we all insulated our houses, which reduced the amount of oil we need to use permanently. Well, when oil got cheap and went back to $10 in the late 90s, we didn't pull the insulation out of our houses. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if oil stays high, we'll buy more fuel-efficient vehicles. We'll find alternatives. We'll do this. We'll do that. And if oil goes back down, we won't change that.
Right.
So we'll stay more oil efficient, and that means even if oil is expensive per gallon or per barrel, it won't impact us as much. It'll be a smaller part of our total outlay.
Are you seeing? Let's talk about the credit situation that your people reported to you. In talking to bankers that I know, who are members of my Brain Trust, Bill, they have said that they're expecting regulatory pressures to come down from the bank regulators as a reaction to what's been happening, and that they thought that ultimately it would start putting a little bit of pressure on small business loans. I haven't seen it yet, but I don't think you have either, have you?
We have not, and of course I'm the chairman of the board of a little bank over in New Jersey with $130 million in loans, and our small business is our market, and we've seen really nothing interesting happening. We haven't tightened our loans. In fact, our loan pipeline is quite full, and things are doing quite well. So, you know, it could be the regulators are going to say to the banks, be more careful. Well, of course we will. But the credit will not flow like it did, especially in the mortgage market, you know, in 2006 or 2005. We were very, very sloppy, and banks are paying the price for that. But I think small banks, there are 7,000 community banks out there serving the small business sector for the most part, and you know they aren't careless like that. So we'll worry a little bit about like construction loans. We'll get a warning on that. Say, well, you know, residential's dead, but commercial, watch out for that. Well, they were telling us to watch out for commercial before the housing market blew up. So you know, we'll see something, but I don't see the regulators really getting into that very much.
Bill, one of the things that I'm concerned about, that I'm concerned is going to cause us to not pull out of this as fast, maybe, and go up as quickly as it could, is the labor force. I mean, we don't have a pent up labor force that could take us to 4 and 5% growth a year, do we?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. We might have. If people want to come back out of retirement and work, the question is, what's going to happen to the older, experienced part of our labor force? Will they decide to retire to Florida and buy one of these cheap houses that you can buy now and retire early, or will they, you know, decide to continue to work? And a lot of them will decide to continue to work because.
So you're saying that the people who are going to take up the slack in all this are going to be the older people.
That's right. It's older people and educated.
Very interesting. There you go. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next month.
All right. Take care.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be in the next hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.